This is the Let's Go Win podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson.
What is happening, you guys? Welcome back to Let's Go Win. I'm excited. I have had a chance to talk to this young lady. She is awesome. Casey Hasen is the director of recruiting and coaching with VIP, podcast host of We Are VIP podcast, and a networking ninja. After being in the accounting world for over 20 years, she made the leap to recruiting those with similar backgrounds. It is her goal to help others find their career passion using all the skills and networking outlets she has gathered. Casey is an avid reader and consumer of knowledge, and most of her conversations will start with, "I just read a book," or "I just listened to a podcast." Outside of work, she is a long-distance cyclist and completed a huge milestone when she completed Hotter Than Hell Sentry Ride. She has one son, Garrett, who is proudly serving his country in the U.S. Air Force. My goodness, you have been busy, Casey. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I'm so excited to be here with you today. So, you know, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about you brought up some cool stuff like networking. I think everybody wants to be better at networking. I've never met somebody that's like, I don't want to be better at networking.
Right.
But I do want to ask, Hotter Than Hell, it's a big accomplishment. What was that? Tell me about that real quick.
So Hotter Than Hell is a 100-mile bike ride the last weekend of August in Wichita Falls, Texas, which is hot. So it's not even that you're just doing an extreme event, you're doing it under extreme conditions. And so that was, and I'll be completely honest with you, the reason it's such a milestone is the first year that I attempted it, I didn't finish. Mm. And so that was a real, and you know, a lot of that was not being prepared and not being, you know, having my nutrition right. I did what we call bonked, you know, and ended up getting very dehydrated. But I still think I could have pushed through that race if I'd have had my mind right, because my mind had already quit.
Well, and I know we're going to talk about some mindset today. I know that about you already, for sure. Give me a little bit of your history into what you do today, because you are helping so many people. You network well, you are recruiting people. I mean, what a blessing. What an amazing job to recruit. I love recruiting. How can you not be happy as hell doing it? But what is kind of your background? How did you get into all that?
You know, it's a crazy story. And I'm so glad you asked that, because I am an assessment junkie. Let me start with that. And every assessment that I've taken since I've started recruiting, this is something that's just I've developed probably in the last 5 years, has told me, you should not be an accountant. You do not have the wiring, the internal wiring to be an accountant. But that's what I did for the first, like you said, 20 years. And I love that you called me a young lady earlier. Just have to throw that out there. But I started my own company. And, you know, when you're a startup, and I was like 20 years old, I was very young, had no idea what I was doing. But couldn't afford to hire somebody to do the books, so fell into accounting. And then later, when I sold my company and went to work for my next company as an employee, because I discovered I am the worst boss ever. I am so mean to me that I just couldn't do it anymore. And so it just was a natural progression to go into the accounting arena. And so I did that, went back to school for it, and did it for a very, very long time. And then when the company I was working for ended up closing, I was visiting recruiters, and I will tell you, I found all the bad ones in DFW first. But I was visiting a recruiter that really took a different approach to how she dealt with her candidates. And it was more of kind of a coaching approach. And she looked at me as she presented all these different jobs. And I said, no, I don't like that one for this reason. I don't like that one for this reason. She goes, Casey, you don't even like accounting. And I went, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, because that's all I had done. That's all I knew. I was in such a rut. You know, I was in a fixed mindset. And so she said, why don't you come do recruiting with me? And I was like, I don't work on commission. And here I am 8 years later, loving life. And you said something about, you know, having a job. I don't have a job. You know, I have a passion that happens to pay me. So it's just a great world.
Well, it sounds like your journey, you've learned how to not have a fixed mindset. And I'll just get right into it. I know mindset is a huge thing for you. That ride alone tells me, damn it, I didn't finish and I could have. And so I'm sure you learned a lot about life in general in this one ride, which is incredible. But talk to me about mindset and how can we continue to increase our game from a mindset perspective?
So I think, and I love that you're pointing that out, you know, the fixed versus the growth mindset. I think the fixed mindset, like where I was for that 20 years, was just kind of like, this is all there is to life. I'm never going to be anything more. And I shouldn't even try, you know? And it really helps that you surround yourself with the right people, right? Because if you surround yourself with other people with those fixed mindsets, they're going to say, no, you can't do that. Why are you even considering that? No, that's scary. Don't do that. You know, and that's where I was in my life at that time. You know, when I told my mom, and I love my mom, and she only has my best interest at heart, but when I told her I was going to switch to recruiting, she's like, you can't do that. You're a professional. And I'm like, it's a profession, you know? You know, but nobody grows up and says, hey, I want to be a recruiter. At least I haven't met anybody, any recruiters that have said that, and that there's like no college for that. You just kind of have to learn as you go along. So for me, when it comes to mindset, it's all about, I want to say positioning, right? So where do you position your focus? You know, what are you looking at? Are you putting those limiting beliefs on yourself? Are you saying you can't do something instead of saying, maybe I can, you know? And I was reminded of a favorite quote of mine this morning by Henry Ford. And I know you could probably say it with me. Whether you think you're right or you think you're wrong, you're right. I didn't quote that right. Whether you think you're right or whether you think you can do it
or can't, you're right.
You're right. That's it. So I always butcher those quotes when I try to repeat them.
No, I just, you're right. Absolutely. The quote is so, it's so appropriate. What's interesting, and we all do this when it comes to this, because we preface, I love my parents, my mom, my sister, my brother, whoever it was. But, and this is where I think people struggle with this, just because they have some limiting beliefs or didn't learn this behavior, that they're trying to protect us. So I want everybody to give yourself some grace and say, it's okay. I just had my parents here for like 12 days and I love them to death. They're amazing human beings, but I scare the shit out of them every single day with the things I do. And I'm sure that's what happened for your mom is, Casey, you're going to do what? But you're so gifted at accounting. What do you know about recruiting? Blah, blah, blah. Was that kind of the relationship and the idea?
That's exactly what it was. You know, when you went to school for this and this is, you know, and I love that you said that. And it led me to another thought because, you know, as a coach, and I'm sure you know this as well, we do a lot of gremlin work with our clients, right? But before you become a coach, you have to be coached and you've got to recognize that gremlin. And the gremlin does the same thing, has the same purpose, kind of like our parents, right? That gremlin, even though he's telling you you're not good enough, don't do that, you might get hurt, you might fail, oh my God, you will fail. He's doing that to protect you, he or she. So anyway, I think it's important to note that when you're talking about your mindset, about controlling that inner chatter as well, not only your focus, but that inner chatter that can be so mean to you.
Yeah. I call it your inner dialogue could be a jerk. There's no doubt about it. And I look, every single one of us deals with it. Some of us develop a stronger way to deal with it. So let's just talk about it. How do you achieve a winning mindset? Is there a specific structure that you follow to quiet these voices, to reinforce that I can do these things? Not I can't, but absolutely I can.
Well, the first thing that I do is I look at the language, how I'm talking to myself and how others are talking to themselves, because I think that's so important. And, you know, in my coaching methodology, you know, we talk about catabolic energy and anabolic energy, but words have energy too. Right? So if I hear somebody saying, well, I should go do this. Well, that's very catabolic. That's who wants to do something just because you should, right? I could go do this podcast, you know, not I should go do this podcast. I mean, that makes sense. And, you know, or I have to, I don't have to do anything. I want to talk to you today because I love to have conversations, you know? So I think it's important when you're talking about mindset to reframe your language and really be conscious of how you speak to yourself and to others.
So you said catabolic energy and you said another one. I'm so sorry.
Anabolic.
Talk to me about that. Just define it, because what you're talking about, I probably correct people. I don't know how many times a day, but I'm like, no, you get to, you want to, there is no have to. these are choices that you make. So can you explain catabolic and anabolic just so I make sure I'm on the same page?
So there are 7 different levels of energy. Okay. There's been so many studies. I'm not talking, you know, a bunch of woo-woo stuff here. I'm just talking, we're made up of energy. Most of us is energy, you know, in the space between. So when you look at the 7 different levels of energy, and I'll tell you a great book to refer to is Power Versus Force. Have you read that?
I haven't.
It is a great book. It was written by Dr. David Hawkins, and it's based on like his 20 years of research around energy. And he labels it too. He actually goes on a scale of 1 to 1,000. And he can measure like the consciousness of the collective whole of the world. It's interesting. So, so interesting. But catabolic energy is described as that energy that is destructive. It tears you down and it's not sustainable. So level 1 and level 2 are our catabolic, pure catabolic energy levels. Okay. And level 1 is the victim level. Okay. That's everything happens to me. You know, I can't go to work because I don't have a car because nobody will give me a job so I can get a car. You know, everything's happening to me. You have no control. You accept no responsibility. Okay. And that's very destructive. I mean, think about it. If you're a victim all the time, how can you be happy? You know? So the next level, though, this is one, it's actually, you would think it would not be better, but it's a little bit better because this is where you're angry. Now you've been a victim for so long and now you're mad about it. But that's good because at least you're moving up the ladder, right? But still catabolic. Think about it. This is like your type A personality on steroids all the time. Push, push. I win, you lose. Okay. Now, as we start to shift into third gear, into our level 3 energy, this is where we call it the Band-Aid level. Okay. And there's a high and a low 3. So it's a mixture of catabolic and anabolic, but at least it's a gear shift into those higher levels of energy. Okay. And so this level 3 energy, this is, you know, if you're on a low level 3, you're like, everything's fine, but you're still kind of mad about it. Right. But if you're on a high level 3, you're like, everything's fine. Everything's going to be okay. And you're putting Band-Aids on stuff just to make it all better and put that silver lining tied up in a bow. Right. And I can go through, and it just progressively gets higher. But really what you're striving for is those higher levels where you're getting out of ego, when you're out of judgment, and where things just are. They're not good. They're not bad. They just are.
No, look, you're safe to never have to say the word woo-woo on my show because I don't believe in it anymore. Look, people, you say meditation was woo-woo. They used to say that, creating or manifest destination was woo. Bullshit. Look, if you put something out there, you are creating something. And Henry Ford is right. Years ago, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So let's talk about these a little bit more in the energy levels. How can they change your perception of any situation? Just because, again, playing the victim. Okay. Yep. I can play the victim, get some empathy, but it's a very disempowering position to be at versus taking full responsibility. So talk to me about energy levels and how that can change your perception of any situation.
I have a perfect example for you. And of course, I'm not releasing any confidential information because I will not release any names, but I have a client that I've been working with that is on a sales team. And I believe you've been on sales teams before, and they're very competitive people, very competitive, very can be very cutthroat and very maybe not so up and up. And so my client that I was working with, she was very on the, not the straight and narrow, but she wanted to do things the right way, but still win. And she had this one coworker that she was working with that was very passive aggressive and just would do things and she'd worry about it. And then she'd have all these conversations. She'd wake up in the middle of the night, just fretting over it because this person was out to get her, obviously. Right. So fast forward after a few months of coaching, same thing. This girl starts doing something to her again and she woke up in the middle of the night again, but instead of having that whole dialogue, that whole conversation about what you wanted to say to her, she had a different conversation. She's just like, what you think of me is none of my business. And what you think of me does not impact me one bit, does not change who I am. And so just changing that level of energy from victim or even angry because this person was targeting her totally took away all the power that other person had.
Yeah, that's a big word I was looking for you to say, right? She took her power back or didn't allow her power to be taken from her. That's amazing. So obviously you're in the world of recruiting and coaching. How does this all apply to quite literally, you know, how do I land my dream job? If I'm listening to this and I'm like, I have a recruiter on here, I want to do my dream job. I don't want to do accounting either. There's some people that love accounting.
There are, and they're wired for it.
Right. But I am meant for something different. What would you tell that person right now that's listening that's like, I want to know how to do better. I want to be recruited, because recruiting is an amazing word. Anybody that's ever been recruited knows how much fun it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that I would tell you, and let me tell you, I have talked people out of accounting and finance, much to my chagrin sometimes, but my whole thing is I want to help people find their passion. And if your passion is not accounting and finance and I don't get to place you, I'm okay with that. You know, I want you to be happy. I want you to find your dream job. I found mine. I want the rest of the world to find theirs too. I just don't think it's fair that I'm the only one that gets to be this happy at work, right? So I want everybody else to have this as well. But the first thing I would say is do the work, take some assessments, because sometimes you don't know what you want, right? And you don't know, like, you know you're wired a certain way, but you don't really know where that fits in the world. And so I think assessments are great. I don't think they define us, but I think they help us align with who we are, you know, and really find those strengths and weaknesses. The next thing that I would have you do is sit down and get calm, get quiet, really reflect on what it is that you love to do. And I mean, so here's what somebody told me. This was really fun. And it makes so much sense how, you know, even though I fought it every step of the way, I ended up in sales, working with people, talking on stage and doing all those kinds of things. Because the guy asked me, he goes, and this was after I'd already started a podcast and doing all that. But he asked me, he goes, what did you do? What did you love to do when you were three? And I was like, oh my God, my favorite thing in the world was when there were empty boxes around and I could stack them up and make a stage and get on them. And then I would entertain the entire family, right? So think about those things. If I'd have really thought about that before I picked my career, I wouldn't have gone into accounting. I would have found something in public relations or, you know, I don't know. Maybe I would have just gone straight for the podcast. So, you know, that wasn't really a thing back then. So I don't know. But I would have found something where I was interacting with people. That's what I need. I have to talk to people. That's how I'm wired. So that would be my first piece of advice.
Yeah, let's get some tangible, because that sounds cool. Assessments, I'm with it. I've taken a lot actually through the years. Do you have a couple that you suggest that you, I mean, again, you're an expert in this field. What are a couple assessments that you're like, these are really solid ones people can use?
My favorite one that I use, and I actually use this for hiring as well, it's called the Talent Selfie by iWorkZone. And I will give your audience a little gift today, if I may.
Go ahead.
If you go to my website, my personal website, which is just my first and last name, CaseyHaston.com, maybe we can throw that in the show notes, I'm sure you will. There is a link on my homepage that says Find Your Fit, and you can take that assessment for free.
Awesome. I mean, look, guys, she's giving you something. If you're wondering even a little bit, like, well, what am I good at? And then, so I know that you have something coming out in soon. Shoot, summertime. We have a journal coming out. Talk to me about why you wrote the journal. I have to imagine this is some of the quiet time probably prodded you or got you to do some of this. So talk to me about it. It's exciting.
So I'm an avid journaler. I have to be, because I am so pew, pew, pew all over the place that if I don't get clarity on my day, then I won't get anything done. And so I actually started journaling about 3 years ago as a result of reading the book, The Miracle Morning. Have you read that?
I have.
Mm-hmm. Love that book. You must read. I have three must reads: Miracle Morning, The Go-Giver, and The 5-Second Rule. Those are must reads, I think, when you're talking about productivity and, you know, really getting yourself into a routine. And routines are important because your brain can only store so much information. So once you form those habits, it takes up it's like a zipped file, right? Instead of all those different files, it compresses that information and frees your brain up to be able to do more things. So I follow the Miracle Morning very religiously. It's a non-negotiable for me. And you talked about meditation. So like for people like me, when the assessment that I'm sending your audience to, it measures your active versus passive. And this is not, neither one's good or bad. It's just how you process information. Well, I'm sure you can imagine I am very active. And like, and that's not so good. I'm like 92.5% active, which means I see sparkly object, squirrel, you know, and I start 100 ideas at once and then don't finish anything because of that, because I'm not ADD, but I'm just so all over the place. So I started journaling and I started meditating, which was really hard at first, but now it's like my favorite time of the day. I love to meditate. Just did a meditation on positivity this morning and it was amazing. So meditation is one, but as part of my morning, I journal. And so, but the problem was I had like 5 different journals, because I'd have one for mindset. I'd have one for productivity. I'd have one for efficiency. I'd have one for meal planning, for finances, you know, all these different journals. And it was a real pain to carry them all around because I always wanted them with me. I might need some of that information, right? And so I decided I was going to design a mega journal, and it's called Awaken. Subtitled Your Potential. And it is going to have all of that in there. It's got your mindset. So what are your core values? What are your internal rules? You know, what do you live by? How do you make decisions? If you don't know where you stand internally, how are you going to make those decisions, right? It's going to have efficiency. So those habit loops I talked about, those are important. And then, but the meat of it is going to be your daily pages. Okay. So on the daily pages, I'm a huge believer in gratitude. Right? You've got to journal your gratitude. So I've built that into the journal. It's going to be in your morning check-in. So you have your morning habit loop. You can just check the box. So you'll have your gratitude. You'll have your meditation that you can list. You'll have your intention for the day. You know, my intention today was to maintain that positivity that I gained from the meditation. You can measure your energy level. I do a real deep dive in the mornings and I look to see, okay, where am I showing up today? Am I showing up as a victim? Am I showing up angry? Where am I showing up on that scale? And that's important. And I'm honest with myself. And if I'm not where I want to be, I have the choice to change it. So all of that stuff. But and then there's a place for you to do your schedule. I have to write down my schedule every single day. Your big three, your to-do list, your health section. But the beauty of it, at night, you have an evening check-in. I love this. Love, love, love this. Again, what are you grateful for? You know? And what was your big win today? Let's celebrate. You know, what was your big win? What is your, my lights just went off. Sorry. I'm standing too still. They won't come back on. What was your big win? What was your self-care? What did you learn today? What did you read today? You know, but here's one thing I love. And a lot of people don't really understand this because they look at life and they see coincidences. I don't see any coincidences. I see synchronicities. Just like you were talking about, the universe is lining up because you're looking for it. So that's the law of attraction. That's all it is. You're looking for those opportunities because you're focused on them. It's not magically appearing for you. It's just you're looking for them. Somebody told me the other day, they're like, Casey, you are so lucky. And I'm like, I'm not lucky. I put that stuff out there and I look for opportunities. And so anyway, so that's what the journal is going to be about. Oh, and I have to tell you, I have the most amazing graphic designer for the illustrations. These illustrations could be a book on their own. They're amazing. You're going to look at mindset and you won't help but be able to have that calm mindset when you see this graphic.
Well, congratulations on it. That's awesome. I'm a huge believer. As you guys know, I did my own journal and I believe in it. I believe in everything she just said, whether it's setting your intention, talking about what you're grateful for. Have you taken care of these? How is your energy? How is your activity? And the one thing you said is, I'm not going to lie to myself. Why do people lie to themselves? Tell yourself, if own it where you're at, and then just go fix it. You can change every single day. I think that's so important. So you mentioned The Morning Miracle. That's by Hal Elrod. The Go Giver series. That's Bob Berg and John David Mann. And then 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins. What did you get from that? I'm just curious because it's a great book. I liked it as well. I'm just curious why that really struck you.
First of all, Mel Robbins is super ballsy. I mean, I love her direct approach and just the way that she, but I met her backwards. So I met her because I picked up the 5-minute or the 5-second journal first, I didn't know who she was, but I picked up this journal and it was funny because I go to Barnes & Noble every week. I have a real problem. But I picked it up and I looked at it. I was like, okay, no impulse buy today. So I set it down and I went back the next Sunday and it was still there. And I was like, okay, it was meant for me because it's still here, right? And so I started doing that. And that's what kind of started my journaling, was that 5-second journal. And then I realized, oh my God, there's a whole book around this. And then I realized there's a whole movement around this, you know? But probably what helped me the most, I'm a horrible snoozer, hit the snooze button. And her 5-4-3-2-1, and I used it with my entire team. Like when call days, I'm like, 5-4-3-2-1, pick up the phone, you know? But just not hitting snooze and gaining that extra hour in the morning for me, for my self-development, probably it was life-changing, as was the Miracle Morning, which I plugged into that hour.
Yeah, I mean, look, you do an hour every single day. You just start doing the multiplication. What can you get done in that time? Makes a ton of sense. Really? You'd snooze for an hour? My goodness.
I would.
It's impressive, honestly. Man, that's not great sleep after the first.
No, it's so not good for you. There's so much science about why that's so bad for you. Don't hit snooze.
Don't hit snooze. And it is interesting, the 5-4-3-2-1, literally psychologically, there's something happening. There's also physiologically something happening. It's really interesting. How she came upon is remarkable. Check it out if you haven't got a chance. So let me talk about, just because we talk a lot about going from fear to freedom. And when you made that shift from going, I don't love what I'm doing, but I found that. Talk to me about what that process looked, because there's some fears going on. You're leaving something you went to school for, something you're probably very good at, even though it is funny to hear somebody with that boom, bing, bing all over the place. Accounting wouldn't be where I would put you, for sure. But talk to me about that fear to freedom, what that looked like for you, really saying, you know what, I'm going to go from something I may be good at, but I want to go be happy. I want to be fulfilled.
You know, I think the fact that I've always been a bit of a risk taker, that definitely comes out in my assessments as well, helped. But truly what helped me go from fear to freedom in that case was being surrounded by the right people. And so my boyfriend of a long, long, long time, we've been together way too long to just be boyfriend and girlfriend. He was so supportive when I was making, I wanted to do it. I really did. I wanted to do this. I thought it would be so much fun. And, you know, I'd gone and I'd shadowed the recruiter that recruited me into it. And I was like, just give me the phone. You don't even have to pay me. I can do this all day long. That's how you know you're in the right spot, right? But there was still that little bit of fear, because a first year recruiter, you're not making money, because you're on commission and you've got to build your book of business. So that's the tough year. And I was at a very high level in accounting. And so I was making pretty good money. And so I took a step way back in, you know, salary to make this work. And so there was a real fear there. And I would just encourage people that, you know, there's such freedom right there by not being money motivated. You know, if you give value first, the money will follow. That is truly my philosophy. You can't help but follow. But in that instance, when I was switching from accounting to recruiting, you know, Steve, my boyfriend, was so supportive, because he's like, give it a try. If you don't love it, you can go back to accounting, but I'm here to catch you if you fall. And the reason I bring that up is because I feel like the person that you choose to spend the most time with, your significant other, has such an impact on you, whether you want them to or not, they're going to. So choose wisely. I think it's so important, because the person I am today, you wouldn't recognize 12 years ago.
Interesting.
Completely different, and completely different support group at that time.
Well, one of the words you say over and over and over, and it's likely my favorite word in the world, is choice. You choose. Mm. You are making a choice.
Yep.
You are not required or put in a place where you have to be. Look, I'm not saying go get a divorce. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying to get rid of all your friends, but they are all choices. Literally, you have a choice to do that. And it sounds like you really just embraced this idea within the last decade, certainly.
Yes.
Because if I wouldn't recognize you 12 years ago, within the last decade, you're like, I have choices and I'm going to make them. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that's what this is coming down to. Is that just literally, is it that simple?
I think it is. I really do. And that's why the journal that we're doing is called Awaken, because I really feel like once you awaken to the fact that you have choice, that you have that awareness that, you know, you co-create your own reality every single moment. You get to choose what that reality looks like. You know, I could, you know, in the instance of, you know, my client that I was telling you about, she could have chosen to see that as a bad thing and this person was attacking her. And then that's a whole different reality than what she chose to, the path she chose to go along, which is this person has no effect on me. And suddenly she's happy. You know, she's not resisting anything because there's nothing there to resist. So I think that it does come down to choice. And, you know, we get to choose each moment who we're going to be tomorrow.
I want to get into networking because I think one of the things everyone wants to do and something that you're incredibly good at is connection. Mm-hmm. Networking, I guess, is what people would say, but you connect human beings all the time. The moment you meet somebody, you're like, oh, you should meet them. Even before we started, you're like, how do you know such and such? Because I know him. What is kind of the keys to networking and how can people continue to get better at it? Because it's such an important piece in business, in life. If you want to surround yourself with more positive people, mm-hmm. it's a great way to do it. Can you talk to us about some of the just logistical takeaways people could actually do to become better at it?
I can, but first I just want to point out one thing that that came to my mind while you were talking, and that is as you increase your energy level, you're going to attract those people at the same energy level. So if you're in a victim of level one, level two, those are the people that are going to surround you and you're all going to commiserate and you're all going to be unhappy together. Don't do that. Attract those people that are going to help build you up by increasing your own energy level. And that will definitely happen. I forgot what your question was.
No, it's okay. We're going to stay there for a second because you're talking about the law of attraction, which by the way, that is true for your significant other, your work, that is for your friendship. The law of attraction is real. So again, if you're in a shitty place and that's what you're going to attract are some of those shitty people. When you get yourself to a better place, to a happier place, shockingly, you're attracting happier people. Yep. You're allowing that. So the energy level is a big thing. What I asked though, was specific to just networking. And maybe that's it. Like you got your energy level to a place. Now you're attracting better folks raising your lid. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's some other things that people can do that you successfully connect people or network.
You know, the first thing that I would say is, and I think Dave Meltzer says it best. He says, be interested, not interesting. And so I think when I'm connecting with people and I'm doing networking calls, and I do networking calls, gosh, lots and lots and lots of them a week for different reasons. But, you know, if somebody, I say they don't take a breath, they just talk at me and we're not having a conversation, I'm probably not going to make any connections for that person because they're not giving value first. They're taking value. So one of my first rules, internal rules, what we talked about earlier, is give value first. I want to be the first to give value. Now, you also have to, you know, following the go-giver, you have to be able to receive. And I really struggled with that for a while. But once I started accepting when people were giving back to me, like it's great that I connect people, but I have to allow other people to connect for me as well. So I give value first and be interested, not interesting. You should not be talking the whole time. Take a breath.
Yeah. I mean, look, as Dale Carnegie said that years and years ago in How to Win Friends and Influence People, literally, in order to be interesting, you have to be interested. So that's absolutely factual. It doesn't surprise me that value is so important to you based off the book you said with the Go Giver series. Mm-hmm. Absolutely talks about that. And a universal law, universal truth, if you give but don't receive, you're messing the whole thing up. And this thing we're talking about, energy, it doesn't work. It breaks it. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about what inspires you every single day, because you come to the table and you're happy and you're kicking butt and you're helping a lot of people. So what inspires you to do that?
You know, when I, and it's not, and I don't, I have to be detached from the outcome when I connect people or when I help people a lot of times, right? Because it's what they do with the information that I give them, that's on them. But I love it when I get phone calls from people that say, Casey, I just listened to that podcast and it changed my life. Or and literally this just happened the other day. I was working with a candidate that was in the accounting and finance space, went and listened to a couple of the different podcasts. And after talking to me, she was like, I just realized I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm going to go chase my passion. And I'm like, good for you. I'm like, I'm going to cancel that interview. I just scheduled for you, but okay. Yay. So that inspires me. I have such a love for people and such a deep desire for everybody to have this awareness, to raise the consciousness of humanity so that we're all completing our purpose. You know, we're here for a reason. We make a contract before we ever get here about what we want to accomplish. And if you don't figure that out, you're going to have to do it again. So just, I want everybody to have that connection, to have that, that completeness, you know. It's not that I'm ever satisfied with where I'm at, but I do feel complete.
And I think I know the answer to this question, but with your podcast, why did you start it? And what have you really got out of it? Because I'm curious. I know why I started, but I got something completely different out of it. So why did you start yours? And what have you gotten out of it?
I've gotten so much out of it. So many different things, but I will tell you that the reason I started the podcast, and I'm so fortunate, my mentor calls me an entrepreneur because I don't own my own business, but I pretty much get to do what I want within the business here because it's just the best of both worlds for me. But I had started on this journey of personal branding a few years ago, and I've always been a networker, but for some reason, I met one person and it just went boom. And I went, oh, and I got it. And so now, you know, that's why they call me the networking ninja, because I'm like, how did you know this guy that lives up in New York, you know? And I have that happen a lot. People look at our mutual connections when I meet them and they're like, how do you know this? Do you really know this person? I'm like, oh yeah, he was on my podcast. But I think that when it comes to what I do, I think my love of people and the fact that I really want to raise that consciousness is what keeps me going.
That's cool. I you're doing a great job of it. I love what you bring to the world. I want to give you a chance, just so anything I didn't ask you that you're like, dang it, Jam, I got to share this with the audience. What would you like to leave the audience with before we end?
I would definitely say it's the end already.
I know. We've been so long. I know. I look down. I'm shocked.
You know, just know who you are. Know that you have choice. And really take that time each morning for you. Meditate. Do whatever works for you. But I will tell you that I asked the question, well, it's kind of a spoiler for you. I asked the question, what's one thing you do each morning to set your day up for success? And probably 75% of the time, the answer is meditation. And these are thought leaders and experts from around the world. So if that many of them that I'm talking to are saying that, then, you know, why are you... why would you not at least give it a shot? And I didn't answer your question earlier, so I'm going to answer that real quickly about the podcast. So I started the podcast because I started that journey and was meeting so many amazing people. And I was just like, you know what? It's not fair that only I'm hearing this, even though I know they had their stages, but I wanted the people I knew to hear these things. And so I approached my partners and I said, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. Just want you to know, because I know I'm a reflection on you. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's a great idea. We'll pay for it. I went, when?
Hey, now.
But what I've gotten out of it is I've gotten to meet some amazing people. I mean, truly amazing. I've had two of my three favorite authors on there, Hal Elrod and Bob Berg. So Mel Robbins is going to be on my podcast soon. She just doesn't know it yet. But throwing that out in the universe, see, that's how this works. You throw it out there and things happen.
No, it's so true. So I got to ask one other question just because you brought it up. For those of you that do have that personality where, you know, you're here one moment, you're over there and you're going, this is a scary idea to meditate, but you have that personality and you're saying how important it is. What would be the best piece of advice? Because I want my mom, I hope she's listening. Mom, if you're listening, this is you. Go ahead and tell her how to meditate. It's not complicated, but it's such a struggle for people that think, I can't quiet my mind.
It is very difficult. And I'm not going to say that I quieted 100% of the time during my meditations. So give yourself some grace there too. It's okay. But think about it when, first of all, I would start with guided meditation. Absolutely. There's a great one on YouTube. They're 10-minute meditations. It's called Great Meditation. It's perfect for people that are getting started. But just give yourself some grace when you're starting. And as you have those thoughts that come into your head, think about like an eraser, just kind of erase them. And so when you're thinking about that and you're erasing the thought's no longer there. And so you're starting to clear your mind as you're erasing those thoughts, you know, and just really focus on your breathing. You know, do some YouTube it, learn how to do some yoga breathing and some meditation breathing, because that really, really enhances the experience.
Well, I hope you guys heard it loud and clear. Everyone can do it. The fact that we even recognize that you're having these thoughts is quite literally meditation. So I hope you guys heard that. Casey, where can our listeners connect with you online?
So probably the best place to catch me is on LinkedIn. I pretty much live there, and it's just Casey Haston. I should pop up pretty good. I think if you Google it, you'll find it too. You can also, like I said, visit my website, my personal website, which is caseyhaston.com. And that's where we'll be announcing the big release of the journal and all that fun stuff. And then you can check me out at wearevip.com as well.
Casey, I appreciate what you're doing for the world, how you show up. Congratulations on the journal. It's amazing. I know it's going to help and influence so many people to live their best lives, and that's what we're all about. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Truly, truly our pleasure. Guys, you heard it. I mean, literally, it's not woo-woo. It's energy. It is real. It is something that you can choose to show up every single day. I want you to go check out our journal. It's coming out very soon, Awaken. If you don't like that, try Champions Playbook. If you don't like that, find another one. The point is not ours. It's quite literally doing it. That's what why we're out here. We want you guys to experience all the fulfillment that we've had a chance to. So until next time, continue to transcend the life. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. That helps us build this community, and that is what we are all about. Building this community as big as we can, helping as many people as we can, and deliver as much value as possible. Be sure to head over to letsgowinpodcast.com for information on my coaching courses, and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Let's Go Win 365. Let's go win and transcend in life.
This is the Let's Go Win Podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson.